Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would just say, Merry Christmas. I'm so glad that you're here this weekend, but don't take this the wrong way. I'm more glad that God is here. Amen? Because that's the reason for the season, right? We celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. He came from heaven to be with us, and he is still here with us, and that's what we celebrate. Right now, we're in this message series called Christmas Light, and the basic idea is we love to put up the lights at Christmas, but even with all the lights and all the decorations and all the holiday cheer, this season does bring with it some extra burden. I think some of it's because it's just at the end of the year and there's a lot of end of year things to do. But also, there's things to buy, people to shop for, you know, decorations. And I know in the Ida Chico household, we got our decorations up, but we haven't managed to get the empty boxes back up into the shelf in the garage. And so we're still kicking them around. I'm going, my goodness, the decorations look nice, but we got to move these boxes. And then also, we are still, this year has just been, it seems like it's just been particularly bad. We're still looking for that perfect picture to put on our now New Year's card. It's just kind of how it goes. Whatever it is for you, I know that there's a lot of stress that comes with this season, and that's what we're talking about, because even though Christmas should be a season of light, it can often be a heavier season of stress. But it's in the midst of that stress that the Christ of Christmas comes to us and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what we mean by Christmas light. We want to take up Jesus on his offer to do life with him, to be yoked to him, so that even, and this is the big thing, the stresses and the burdens and the busyness of the season is still going to come, but in them we can nevertheless find light. So that's what we're talking about in this series. We're asking, how can we take up Jesus' yoke and follow him through Christmas? And so we've talked about, in the first week, we talked about those crazy schedules that happen. We talked next about some of that debt, and there's all different kinds of debt that we have and how that can weigh us down. And then last week, we talked about even our family can be frustrating for us. We love them, but they can present very special challenges. And today, we're talking about travel. When you travel is taxing. And I think this is a season where we do a lot of extra travel to try to get together. We do our best, even at great lengths, to come together. But, you know, it seems like no matter how hard you plan, your travel doesn't always turn out right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking this summer we took a bunch of high school students from our church, and we went to Minneapolis to be part of that national youth gathering, and everything seemed to go well. We managed to get the students all to the right places at the right times, which is sometimes a miracle, and we even made it back. Everything was going great, and we made it back to the airport in time for our flight back home, only to find out that planes were grounded because of a big storm coming in, and they estimated a one-hour wait. And that one-hour wait turned into a two-hour wait. And that two-hour wait turned into a three-hour wait and a four-hour wait. And we were supposed to get back at 11 p.m., and we thought, that's late, but it's doable. 4 a.m., we finally pulled into the church parking lot or something like thereabout, right? Yeah, so travel can be taxing. You know what I'm talking about. And here's the thing. Maybe you travel a lot. Maybe you travel a little. What point I want to make to you is, regardless of whether you travel on planes, trains, and automobiles, you are traveling through life. Life is a season of events that pile up on top of each other, a series of movements and travels. You, maybe when you're a child, you know you have to travel through school districts, or you at least travel from elementary to middle to high school. Those are all kind of season changes. And then maybe you go off to college, and that's a kind of a travel or a journey. And maybe you get married, and maybe you have kids, and you travel into that stage of life. And then maybe your kids move out, and you go into that stage of life. And then maybe your kids come back, and you go into that season of life. All of this traveling, the places and stages of life, that's why we call life a journey. It's really a series of travels. And what I love about the Christmas story is that there are actually a lot of travels going on. We're going to kind of focus in and highlight on one particular travel today, and that was our gospel reading, that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And the census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his city. So the story begins with the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. He wants to take a census of the entire Roman Empire. Why? Simple answer, taxes. He wants to know every single person in his kingdom so he can tax every single person in his kingdom. But there's one catch to this census. You didn't just go online and check a box. No, everyone had to go to their own city. What happened in that day and time was that they literally had to go back to their hometown or their city of their birth and register for the census there. And so this meant that Mary and Joseph would have to go back to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem. And so we read that Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David, to be registered with Mary, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them. So here's the thing. You might think that travel in the 21st century is taxing, right? The inconvenience of delayed flights or lost reservations. But you and I need a perspective check here, and we need to imagine what Mary and Joseph went through in the first century. So a little bit of geography. This trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where they have to go for the census, this is about, you know, maybe 70 miles as the crow flies, but by this route that they most likely took, 90 to 100 miles. Okay? And why would they go this route? Well, you know, there's a couple of different reasons. One, the Jews particularly did not like to even travel through the region of Samaria. The Samaritans were their enemies, so they would just assume go around it, then go through it. But at the high seasons and festivals, they actually kind of lifted that restriction, and they would travel through there. The only thing is, even though it was a straighter route, it was a kind of an up-and-down route over the terrain. And you know this as well. Often you would just assume, you know, even though El Camino Real is a straighter route, sometimes it's faster, if there's no traffic, to get on I-5 and go that way and come back around. Same thing here. So as long as there was no traffic along the Jordan River, this would have been a faster and easier route for Mary and Joseph. But you know what else is not in this Christmas story? And it makes it into a lot of our Christmas stories, our children's pageants, or our, you know, Christmas cards. We always love to see Mary riding on that donkey. Now, it's possible, but it's not written in any of the Gospels. There's no message. There's no mention of any animals other than that they went. So it is very highly likely that they walked much of the way. So, you think travel is taxing. And by the way, you might be saying, Pastor, you need to get with the program. We have Uber and Lyft. Nobody takes taxis anymore. But I'm saying travel's taxing, not travel's taxis. So just, you know, make sure you're tracking with me on that very bad pun, which seemed much better when I put it on paper. All right, so traveling doesn't have anything to do with taxis, but it does have to do with you. Because as I said, whether you're traveling from city to city or place to place, you are traveling through life, and that is going to be a journey that is going to have challenges. It's going to be taxing at times. So what are some things that you can keep in mind when this is happening to you, and particularly we can learn from Mary and Joseph? I would say the first is a perspective change, or at least to keep our perspective, put things into perspective. Okay? And it can one way you can kind of look at it is this. One of the things about travel is that it ends. Now, this can be a good thing. If you've traveled for a vacation, this kind of happened to us when Rochelle and I went for our 30th anniversary. Was one of the most relaxing times we had. The weather was just perfect. The accommodations were perfect. We actually got upgraded. The food was great. And we were just having such a great time. You've had this too, right? You manage, it takes you most of that time. You've learned to stop checking your email and you're actually having a great time. But your carriage turns into a pumpkin and it is time to go home and you think, where did that go? The other side of that travel is that it ends. And sometimes it's a good thing you may be going through, you may have, you know, taken a place. I'm thinking of some of the vacations we've had, they've lost our reservations, and we literally have to practically, it seems like, go out to the stable wherever they can keep us, or you're just not able to get comfortable in that bed, or you just can't seem to get the air conditioning just right, or the food isn't, somebody gets sick, whatever, and you're just thinking to yourself, I want this to end and I want to get back home, right? So both sides of the travel have this truth in mind. And it kind of follows that age-old adage that is sometimes attributed to Solomon. And it goes like this, maybe you've heard it. This too shall pass, right? Have you ever used that? This too shall pass. And truthfully, just like with those vacations and those physical travels, it's good for you and I to keep that in mind in the seasons of our life, both good and bad. Sometimes we can be riding so high and everything can be clicking together so well, and we think to ourselves, please don't let this feeling end. But it does. And we have to recognize that just nobody gets to skate through life always on a mountaintop with no challenges. I can't believe I just sang. That was not in my notes, by the way. But, you know, that just doesn't happen. If you're going along and things are going well, I'm not saying you need to put tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine, but it is good to keep a perspective that it is a season. And there are hills and the valleys do come. And it doesn't mean that you did anything wrong, and it doesn't mean that God left the building, all right? Same thing is, if you are in a season of life that is particularly taxing, particularly troubling, that this too shall pass. This season will pass. Even the psalmist records it really well and says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. No matter how terrible, how troublesome, how taxing your transitions and your travels through life may be, there is joy in the morning. And what this means for you and me is that we then don't have to just survive these taxing seasons. We can go through them with hope. And hope will change your perspective like nothing else will. You and I can keep in mind that there is something better coming. All right, that's the first point, just to have that perspective, that bigger picture view. The other is to have some good guidance. And, you know, oh sure, you might have Google Maps. Heaven forbid you're still using paper maps. I don't know if anybody does that. But you've got your map, you've got your route, but the truth of the matter is, if you're going into some area you haven't been before, you want somebody who's been there before. Often if I'm going to make a visit, even though I have the person's address and Google maps it out, like right now, for example, Google will actually take you across the new poinsettia that's going through. Anybody have that happen yet? Happens to us all the time because, well, we live right off that road and it keeps thinking we can go that way. And they haven't opened the road yet. But, you know, I'll call somebody and I'll say, hey, I'm coming to visit you. Is there a gate code I need to know about? Because that's not going to show up, right? I'm like, how hard is it to find this corner? You know, you want to ask and you want to get the extra information. Or maybe you're going on a vacation and you're talking to somebody who's been to that location before, and they'll tell you, oh, don't eat in those restaurants. Or they'll say, don't shop right there near the hotel. It's worth the extra taxi. Go 2 miles. There's a great shopping district. Etc. You get the point. You want to know about where you're going from someone who has been there. And we need a little guidance. And one of the things I love about the Christmas story is that we see people getting guidance all throughout it. Mary and Joseph, they are guided all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was Caesar's decree that guided them, but they were sent. The shepherds that were out in their fields were guided by the angel to go to the manger. And those wise men from the east, you know, they were guided by a star in the sky, right? So everybody in this story needs guidance. And here's the thing, you need guidance too. And the truth is, if you think about it, we're all guided by something. We're all following something. For many people, it's the almighty dollar. You know that saying? And I don't know exactly how that works, but effectively what it means is that people are being guided through life and they're making their decisions based on greed. Or maybe they're being guided by their fame and their popularity or their career, and that's what guides their decisions. And I think maybe one of the most important questions that you could ever ask in life is, what am I being guided by? Or maybe even better, who am I being guided by? And I think this is a great time to hear Jesus. He gave us two very profound words in Matthew's gospel, follow me. You know, you want a guide who knows the way? You want a guide who has been there before? How about a guide who knows the whole map? How about a guide who knows the shortcuts that don't work that you want to take? How about a guide that knows that even when the travel is taxing, you must go through this road? How about him for a guide? All right? Keep that perspective, that bigger perspective of hope. Have the good guidance, and I'm offering to you the best guide. And then travel with purpose. Let me illustrate what I mean by that from a personal example. Now, many of you know that just recently Rochelle and I celebrated our 30th anniversary, and that for us was a very special occasion, and so we tried to do something special, and we set up a trip to Mexico that really was wonderful. But I still wanted to have something that I could surprise Rochelle with, a gift. And the thing is, Rochelle, if you know my wife, is very, very hard to surprise. And the fact of the matter is, we work together, so it's also very hard for me to surprise her. And the time was getting very narrow in which I could do anything to surprise her. So I came up with a plan. It just so happened that about a week before we were set to travel, I got invited to participate in the installation of the new pastor, Pastor Aaron Smith, out at Grace Lutheran in Escondido. And as is pretty traditional, following the installation, they had a reception, and they always invite the pastors to participate in that. And I usually do. I usually stay. And it not only is a chance to visit, but then, you know, I've already missed dinner at home, so it works out well. So what I decided to do this time is that I would tell Rochelle I was going to stay after for the reception, but I wasn't going to. I was going to go shopping. Now, before you get too worried about a pastor who likes to lie, I would just say, I don't always lie, but when I do, it's for something nice, okay? So it's really very hard for me to lie. My family knows this. They kind of like to, you know, it's just play poker with me, okay? Because that's pretty easy to read. Anyway, so I told her that I was going to do this, and now I don't have much time, right? Because, you know, how long are you going to stay and have potluck, right? So I had a mission, and I was like, there is a plaza. I am going to go into that plaza, and I am going to come out with a gift. And it just so happened, of course, I had planned it this way, but there was a Costco in that plaza along with a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, if you know me, you know I love to shop at Costco, and so I thought, hey, they have a jewelry section. Usually there's many things that are way too expensive in the Costco jewelry section, but there's some nice stuff. So I thought, you know what? I looked up on the internet, and I said, what's the 30th anniversary? You know, for whoever makes up this list. I don't know who got to make up the list, but you know, 25 is silver, and 30 is pearl. Maybe you knew that. I did not know that, but thankfully Google knew that. So I said, all right, I am going to, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to see what they have in pearls. And this was the cool part, okay? And that I walked in the door, and I kid you not, right in the front, who here has been to Costco? Okay, all right. So right in the front, as soon as you walk in, there is one of those traveling displays. You know how they have those? There was a traveling jewelry display, probably only there for a few days. And I'm like, oh my goodness, thank you, God. So I walk over and I ask the lady, you know, what she has in pearl. And of course, she's showing me the necklaces and you know, the pearl strings and things. I'm like, nah, I really was thinking something different. And there was just one piece there that was very different. And I said, oh, that's nice. I think that would work. I said, well, what are those stones on it in addition to the pearl? And she said, well, that's peridot and that's amethyst. And I said, oh my goodness, peridot is my birthstone, amethyst is Rochelle's birthstone, and pearl for 30. And so I tried to look at other stuff, but after that, the sale was over. And so I managed to hide this until we got to special dinner in Mexico and surprise her with it. Long story, but the point is that I was on a mission. I was out to get the perfect gift. And I knew exactly what I had set out to do. And where that intersects with our Christmas story, and we've been talking about all these different journeys and all that are happening, and you know, I would think that the greatest journey in the Christmas story, was not just Mary and Joseph who made the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and wasn't just what the greatest journey wasn't the trip that the shepherds made from the fields to the manger, and it wasn't even the one that the Magi made from the east to Bethlehem. But in fact, the greatest trip was the one that Jesus himself made to leave his throne in heaven to come to our earth as a baby in a manger. And here's the question. Why, though? Why did he make that journey? Why did he choose to make that journey? And I think that, when you consider what that journey meant for him, it meant leaving his beautiful throne in heaven to come to a world that was just sick with sin, broken, to be born in such humble estate in a manger. The question, why? Why would he do this? Well, he had a purpose, and his purpose was you. And he was going to make this journey. He was willing to set out on this journey with a purpose, and his purpose wasn't just to find the right gift for you, but to bring the perfect gift for you, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, and the gift of salvation. And the thing is, Jesus knew that this gift was going to require more than just the trip from heaven to the manger. It was going to require an even more taxing travel, where he was going to have to go to the cross. And I love this little section in Luke where Jesus very clearly says, it is necessary that I travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's not possible for a prophet to perish outside of Jerusalem. Jesus left his teaching ministry. He was going to be leaving his disciples. He was headed for Jerusalem. He set his face to Jerusalem. He knew exactly what was going to happen for him. He knew what was going to happen on that journey, but he had a purpose. And even though he had traveled to earth through the manger, his travel would be ending and we'd be going back home, but it was through the cross. And so, friends, I think the very simple message, the promise and the hope of Christmas for you and me is this, and that is that when we travel the road of life from season to season, okay, you must know, when you're traveling from season to season in your life, you must know that you're never alone, never alone. God is always with you. The one who came for you is now the one who goes with you. And Jesus made this very clearly when he said to his disciples and to us, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that means, friends, that he's with you even when your journey has potholes, when it has detours, and even disasters. He is traveling with you. And because of that, you know your final destination. Just this last week, I was privileged to lead a memorial service, and I was able to share words of comfort with the family, and for me, words of Jesus, where he says, plain and simply, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. His journey would take him to heaven, but his journey will take him back to us. And friends, throughout this life of travels that you have, know this, not only does Jesus promise to be with you in your travel, and that's both the hills and the valleys, he promises where your travel is taking you, and that you will be with him in eternity. In other words, even this too shall pass, but oh, is the journey worth it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came to us and you traveled with us and you died for us through your Son Jesus. Father, we pray during this season that we would remember that no matter what challenges we face along the road of life, that we face them with you. And because of that promise, Lord, we know that you will see us through this journey of life, even unto eternal life with you. So thank you, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.